When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, my name's Stuart Miles, and welcome to the Apocalypse Podcast. Happy New Year, as they say, and that means one thing in the world of tech. CES is on. Yep, that's right. The world's largest consumer technology show has opened its virtual and physical doors once again to bring us a host of product announcements and concepts. And while the format has been slightly different again this year, it hasn't stopped the sensible, weird, and downright wonderful gracing our inboxes and, well, physical event in Vegas itself. So what have been the big announcements from the show? What should you be looking forward to later this year? And has it all been worthwhile? Well, joining me this week, live from Las Vegas, no less, is Apocalypse Reviews editor Mike Lowe, and back in the UK, Apocalypse contributing editor Luke Baker. So let's start with you, Mike, as you're there,
yes,
braving everything. What's caught your eye?
As a show overall, it's been a really quite a different experience because of the volume of people. It's certainly down, and I think that's kind of dominated quite a lot of the headlines around it. I think from my point of view, it's kind of best in some ways to ignore that and actually go, hey, this is a technology show, so let's see the good stuff, right?
Yeah.
Sadly, quite a number of large companies have actually sort of failed to bring product. So it's been a bit of a obscure mixture of kind of augmented reality displays and kind of hands-off displays. And the one company that's really gone for it proper, as far as I'm concerned, is Samsung. So they seem to have really doubled down, announced everything, bought everything, showing everything off. And it's, you know, the year of their new TVs.
Yeah, they kind of started off the week, didn't they? Let's talk about TVs, because CES has always, you know, CES has been going, as a technology show, it's been going for about 50 years. And it kind of started off with TVs, radio and phonograms. Wow. Turntables for you and I. What are the TVs this year? So Samsung went big with micro LED.
Yeah, so it was probably about 3 years ago when they announced, originally it was called The Wall. And they've kind of been dabbling with this idea of getting it to be a consumer product, an actual real thing that you can buy. They're still not kind of quite there because they are very big. I think the biggest is 110 inches. The smallest is something like 83. And you're talking six-figure televisions.
Wow.
So, yeah. Well, it's not officially that, but that's kind of word on the street. They look amazing. Like, it's kind of unreal how good they look. It's probably more a kind of like, kind of proof of concept in a way. They might sell like a handful to some super rich, but it kind of shows off what's possible and how bright things can go and how detailed and, you know, how just much control they can have over imaging. And over time, it'll trickle down and we'll see this kind of eventually come through to a more consumer level and a more sensible kind of size as well. But I think that's the great thing about CES is actually being able to see stuff, because a picture of a television tells you absolutely nothing how it looks, right? And when you literally get to see some of this stuff, it's like, oh, that is incredible. I mean, sure, it's set up in their own format and they get all the control over it and they control the image and whatever, but you know, even so, it's like, wow, that's some impressive stuff. So that's kind of their very, very top end. Then there's the Neo QLED update, which is fantastic, but at the same time, it's just an incremental kind of shift. So year on year, there's only so much more you can really eke out of what extremely high-end technology can do in televisions. It tends to be just, you know, increasing the processing to kind of pull more out of an image, or you know, shift around a bit of what HDR can do out of what it's provided with. And it's excuse me, it's a small update, but the images are still incredible, so that's kind of the next level. There's no model numbers yet, there's no pricing yet, so I guess we'll wait until maybe February and there'll be kind of some real world figures on that.
Now, towards the end of last year, we saw from Samsung a lot of focus on TVs for everywhere, you know, your garden, your garage, your wherever, your kitchen, your bathroom, wherever you fancied it. Is there that sort of that trend? Has that trend carried on this year from Samsung or others in CES?
Yeah, so for sure. The main showcase they put on kind of went, you know, top end, almost untouchable. You're never really going to have this in the next few years, which is the micro LED stuff, right down to some of the more lifestyle things. So they have a lifestyle range, and this year they've got an update on the frame. It's kind of designed to look a bit more arty, and this time they've put on a it's like an anti-reflective, anti-glare screen. Mm-hmm. And it's been certified as the first ever TV with a zero reflection, zero glare screen, which sounds like a lot of hoo-ha, but actually genuinely looking at it, it looks like a painting. It's so kind of bizarre, and you wouldn't be able to see how good it is unless you physically stand in front of it. You can get your phone out and shine it over it. It doesn't reflect. It's really pretty crazy, actually. And they've kind of done this with a coating that's kind of microscopic and almost like a sine wave. And it just sort of deflects the light in a way that you just think you're looking at a picture, basically.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's. I mean, you've seen similar things, you know, like TVs designed specifically to hang on your wall to use.
Yeah. Netgear Muriel, which I reviewed last year, is kind of, it's not a TV, but it's just a display that, you know, comes with a subscription to art galleries, so you can display new art on your wall every day.
Right.
And that's kind of, you know, we've had, like even over Christmas, we had friends and family over and they're like, what is that? That looks like it's lit up. And we're like, oh yeah, it changes as well. And they're like, whoa, like crazy kind of stuff. And so I think there is this tendency, you know, there's this thing, isn't it? We've got these bigger TVs in our lounges. They're all black, these big black squares. And, you know, when you're not watching TV, which is not all the time, you want it to do something else.
I think that there's also this whole design sort of ethos they have, because this kind of sits on a, you know, nice little pedestal. Doesn't have to, you can wall mount it, you can do what you want. But, you know, when you see like the lifestyle image shots of how they kind of present it, it's like in the middle of a lofty apartment and there's lots of large windows, but you can still watch TV because it doesn't reflect, and it really doesn't. And, you know, the things that are happening with kind of the simplest of technologies in a way, it's almost like, why has this not happened before? Because reflections on TVs are really annoying and they've kind of completely resolved that. So I was really impressed with that.
Now, Samsung aren't the only ones that launched TVs. We had new TVs from Panasonic, from LG and Sony. I know Panasonic weren't able to see, we haven't been able to see that out there, have you, at their stand, but Sony, you did go, and I hear you saw Tom Holland at the same time.
Yeah, so I mean, we can talk about the Sony TVs, but the funny thing is, actually, they didn't have them on their stand. So, Sony's angle was really different, I think, and it was actually a really refreshing kind of press conference to go to. That company is really doubling down on different properties that it has. So, it was very excited about Sony Pictures. Obviously, which is Tom Holland, he popped on stage and showed off a clip of the new Uncharted movie, which is out in February. And then they kind of went on from there, brought out Jim Ryan, who's the PlayStation head CEO, and he announced PlayStation VR 2 for PlayStation 5, which was a bit of a surprise because it's CES, and it was like, oh, okay, that's cool. That's a pretty big announcement, including a new Horizon game. We're not really sure when it'll come out. I'm guessing end of the year. And then they kind of moved on to the S Vision electric SUV and announced a new company, which I think is Sony Mobility Incorporated, basically saying, hey, we're Sony, we're actually going to make electric cars now.
Yeah, because so, I was there 2 years ago and they rolled out the that concept car and everybody's like, oh, okay, that's interesting. And then obviously nothing happened, but now it has, which is interesting itself.
It's pretty quick, you know, 2 years, and it's like, oh, right, here's another car, and actually we're really serious about this, and we're going to make this part of a, you know, part of a business, a separate business. But be interesting to see where that goes, you know, can it take on Tesla and such like, you know. It's difficult to say, and the funny thing in Vegas, actually, so I've not been for 2 years because of world events and so forth, it's changed a lot, and it always changes every time I come, but at the actual convention center, there's kind of a new section. They've built a new building. Elon Musk's boring company has literally bored a tunnel, and you can catch a Tesla in an underground tunnel between the convention halls, which is novel, but rather fun.
Amazing. Have you had a go?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'm just having water. Yeah, absolutely. It was, I went in for a meeting an hour before the show opened, and had just about enough time, so I was like, I'm gonna give this a shot. And
cool. It's look kind forward of to look forward to reading about that on Pocket Lent.
It's entirely possible. Yes, I mean, it's a pre-concept to Hyperloop, so it's kind of, you just get driven through by a driver in a Tesla, so it's not, you know, super futuristic in that format. But the idea is just to show off that he can make these tunnels, and there will in the future somewhere in California, in theory, be a big Hyperloop train that's super fast. So
there we go. Right, now something that has also, look at the amazing way I'm going to segue into this, something that's also been announced a lot of this week that is super fast are a range of laptops. Luke, you've been following this. You see that, just made for this. It's amazing.
Yeah, very good, very good.
New laptops, all powered. Yeah, new laptops, all powered by new AMD and Intel processors. Am I right there?
Yep, that's right.
What's the highlights been?
Well, AMD had the most to announce, it felt like. They announced 30 new products. So
wow.
They've kind of got a bit of everything. And as usual, when new CPUs get announced, all the laptop manufacturers announce their refreshes of their models. So there's a lot of models that we've seen before, but now they'll have these new souped up graphics chips in them and processors. So I think the cool thing is about 1.3 times faster than the previous generation of AMD CPUs, and 2 times faster graphics is what they're claiming. So potentially a lot better gaming performance on PCs that don't need a dedicated graphics card. So that could be quite cool.
Cool. And is there any models specifically that's caught your eye? Because I know we've had a real glut of everything from MSI to Acer to Asus to Dell to like beyond, yeah. Razer and everybody, haven't we?
The one that caught my eye was the refresh of the Dell XPS 13, which I think everyone's familiar with. Very nice laptop. And they've really done quite a drastic redesign. They've gone very, very minimal. And so much so that there's no touchpad anymore. The entire section beneath the keyboard is all, I presume, touchpad. There's no like lines or anything. You can't see where it ends or starts.
Yeah, I saw that. I was wondering whether the whole thing is a touchpad or whether it's just hidden. There's still an area that's kind of hidden underneath that you kind of, otherwise you just catch it all the time, wouldn't you?
Right.
I mean, that's feedback as well, right? You kind of want that proper click or something convincing. Yeah. I do wonder what
they did. They talked about haptic feedback and stuff to make it nice to use, but they haven't really given much detail of how it actually works. It does look very nice, but yeah, in practice it could be quite strange. And they've also gotten rid of the function row and replaced it with a capacitive touch backlit row.
That's very MacBook.
Touch bar, isn't it?
A bit like the touch bar.
A bit late.
Yeah, and you can switch those to media keys as well if you prefer. Okay. And I don't know. It's a strange move because it's a lot of people's favorite laptop, and they've changed almost everything except the very nice screen, which everyone knows has the nice thin bezels. That's the same. But that was the most interesting one for me, at least.
I thought the Asus stuff seemed to be quite futuristic in its kind of approach. The new ZenBook, I think there's a space theme ZenBook 14X, and also a new kind of a ZenBook 17 Fold, which I wasn't sure whether that was just a one big screen that's like folding in half, of similar to the sort of the Z Flip 3 from Samsung, you know, the clamshell smartphone. And then obviously we've got new products from Lenovo as well. Is there, with a secondary 8-inch display, it feels that there's kind of quite a bit of experimentation still with laptops, which is quite interesting. Do you think that's going to dominate for the rest of the year, or do you think this is the chance for them to play, and then actually when it comes to, you know, selling and coming out, they're just, a laptop is a laptop?
It's tricky to say. I think the extra screens grab people's attention, and they're very cool. But how many people actually want them is another matter. Like myself, I prefer a really nice keyboard to having a extra screen, I think. But the novelty is really cool, and it's, if I had a chance to look at one, I'd obviously jump at the one with the extra screen rather than one with a
keyboard. It takes a bit of time as well. Like that Lenovo specifically is the, I think it's the ThinkBook Plus in its third generation, and like the very first one, the back of the lid of the laptop was an e-ink panel. So they've kind of gone from that idea to then shifting it into like a slightly different format. I think a bigger screen on the second version, and they've kind of given up on that in the third version, but taken a screen and put it, you know, next to your trackpad, hopefully in a way that's more useful to say have, you know, spreadsheet rows or macros, or you want to scroll on it with a pen or whatever. So it's kind of an iterative process. I think they take time to really see what people do with stuff, because the idea sounds great, right? But actually, is it when you open it? And it might take a bit of time to figure out. And actually, the ultimate solution in the end may be, you know what, the standard laptop without all this stuff is probably where we end up going back to.
Yeah, I think, I mean, for me, it's like the one thing I want them to invent, and nobody seems to have done this, is just to allow me to get a pencil and draw on the trackpad, you know, for signing documents or for just like making notes or working on Photoshop or something like that. Just, you know, almost like a Wacom tablet built in to the trackpad itself, you know, which nobody seems to want to do that.
You can probably do it, but not with a normal pencil. I'm sure there's very many companies that would sell you a very expensive, nice stylus pen. But I can't think that I've seen it. I'm sure that could exist.
It must exist somewhere. If you know, please write in the usual... I want to say Maidenhead, as if I'm like from the 80s watching television. Some kids show. Right, okay, so moving on from laptops. Now, one of the things I saw, Mike, which I was very excited about, and then you've actually seen in person, is this BMW.
Yeah.
Tell us more.
So the concept, and it's very much a concept, it's basically a car covered in e-ink panels, which... It's like a Kindle on wheels, I think Chris, the editor, said. And it's not far wrong, but it's got this kind of method where it can almost like animate. So the whole exterior bodywork kind of morphs and shifts and moves between these different grayscales in a kind of motion pattern. I've embedded a tweet on the site, so if you want to have a quick glimpse, look of, you know, 10 seconds of it running through it, you can see. And like... it's completely bonkers. It doesn't really have any practical application. That's what's kind of great about these shows, though. It's companies going, hey, we can do this, so let's just do it. It probably looks a bit better in images from slightly further away. When you're kind of up close to it, there's quite a lot of it's kind of damaged points. And like,
presumably you can just, it's looking at a Kindle screen very close up.
Not even that close. I think it's where there's so many panels, you can kind of see some of the joinage between certain parts. And, you know, it's pretty decent in some regard, but not, you know, it's never really going to be a consumer product, right? But it's just kind of wacky to see that you take one technology meant for a certain thing and completely morph it into this other thing that's massively eye-catching. You know, you couldn't, if you saw it here, you couldn't not go and walk up to it and have a look and be like, what on earth is this? Like,
and that's the thing, right? Look, seeing your video, seeing the video from BMW, seeing your video as well, and I think, to be honest, your video shows it off in a much better way than the professionally produced video from BMW does. I was very excited because it kind of reignited my love of tech and all the other stuff. And sometimes you just have to have something, as you say, that is utterly bonkers and is completely just for like fun and inspiring. But yeah. I did kind of scratch my head for a couple of minutes afterwards thinking, why? And, you know, I spoke to my father, who's fairly old, and he was like, well, surely it'd be great for a bank job. I'm like, you know, it's like, it was a white car, sir. No, it was black. I'm not sure. Yeah. So did they give a reason apart from being the ultimate, like, James Bond, like, bank job kind of vehicle?
I didn't specifically interview or speak to anyone on their stand about it, and it was outside of it. So I kind of just went up and did a good walk around, and I think that was kind of a nicer way of doing it in a way, because I didn't need a reason. It felt kind of fun and quite detached from any sort of given purpose. I think that was kind of the fun thing about it. And it's made us talk about BMW, right? Mm. So at a show that's quite heavy on automotive now, some of the stuff, you know, a little bit heavyweight, not necessarily super interesting about different platforms and like different technologies from, say, Qualcomm that are delivering the things that you use every day. But then, as much as that's important, it's like, hey, here's a car that can change color. Why not? And it's just a bit of fun. And it's really good to see that kind of playfulness. And we need that in times like now, I think.
Now, something I saw to do with cars, which I thought would have a bigger impact, is an announcement from Amazon talking about getting Fire TV and the interface into cars. I think the BMW, I think that same concept that the iX Flow has a 30-inch widescreen screen in the back, isn't it, for cinema viewing, which Chris has written about on the site. But it's this idea of BMW, but also Ford and others getting more streaming content into your car. Do we think that's going to be a thing in 2022, Luke?
Yeah, I mean, I think it seems inevitable, especially with, I know Android's doing a lot of work on all their Android Auto stuff as well to make the apps on your phone integrate better with car entertainment systems. So, yeah, I can't see why not.
There we go, definitive answer.
it's a bit wacky though, isn't it? Because, you know, you can't drive and watch the next episode of whichever favorite Marvel thing you're watching.
No, but the passengers can.
Yeah, but only if you've got a car.
You just don't want it in front.
You know, not everyone has like multiple screens in their car. So we're saying that actually increasingly cars are becoming more technology based companies and they're really upselling the tech in the vehicle rather than perhaps the car itself. So you do increasingly see multiple screens in cars and so forth. So I guess maybe that application, but
maybe
not
that Sony concept will have PlayStation 5s built into the back and then you still won't be able to buy one.
Well, yeah, maybe. But you know, it kind of makes sense, I suppose. So it's a bit more future looking and give it a few years that it might make sense, or it could kind of vanish. But it's a step-by-step thing. I mean, you think back, Amazon introduced an Echo device for hands-free control years ago. I think it was years ago. It must be a good 3 years or something. So it's taken a bit of time to go piece by piece and move away from it just being Alexa into a fuller format for Amazon Prime.
Now, this might be a bit easier for you, Mike, but I'm going to ask Luke first. Luke, of all the stuff that we've been covering on Pocalent over the week, what's been your kind of either, I'll give you a choice, either the number one product that you're most excited about or something that you just think is so wacky that you have to mention it because the more people that have told about how wacky this thing is, the better.
I mean, in terms of wacky stuff, I feel like a lot of it we didn't cover because it's just so bananas that no one would want it.
Yeah.
I know there's been, I've seen a lot of things for pets, like smart products for pets. There was a fitness tracker for cats, I believe, which is truly bizarre. I don't know what anyone would want to do with that data. I mean, it could be kind of fun to see how far your cat's gone.
I want a buff cat.
Yeah, exactly. And okay, so that's your crazy one.
That's the crazy one. The one I'm actually most excited about is, it's boring on paper, but I think the implication is good, that the Samsung TVs starting this year, some of them will ship with completely battery-free remotes that charge themselves somehow with some black magic.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, so in the future, we might not have to worry about TV remote batteries ever again, which I think is quite cool.
Right. Now, Mike, you might have seen some of these crazy things up close and personal, probably at like CES Unveiled or Pepcom or Showstoppers or what have you. Is there any that have caught your eye that just need to be told?
I mean, Luke's hit a theme there. There was quite a lot of pet stuff. If I'm going down the crazy angle, then it was probably something I saw last night called the, I think it's Amagami Hum Hum, which is a Japanese company.
Okay.
They have made a plush toy that you can pop your finger in its mouth and it nibbles you.
Sorry, let's just, I for some reason I thought you said that there was a plush toy that nibbles your finger.
Yeah, it's a little cat. So 2 years ago they released a cushion that wagged its tail when you stroked it.
Yes, I remember that. Yes,
same company, they've released a little plush toy. It looks very sad. It looks a little bit too sad. And you pop your finger in its mouth and it nibbles.
Okay. So that's the crazy one. And of the stuff that you've seen that you're genuinely excited about, is there anything? Is it still the nibbling cat?
I mean, yeah, it's probably the best thing ever, but the TVs on a very serious note, you know, it's when you see them in the flesh and you see like that, the frame's anti-reflective panel is like really quite astounding. So I think that was one of the standout things for me. And Samsung had a lot of stuff. I was actually given a preview of their QD OLED, which won't probably be out until maybe even next year, which is like the super bright, super colorful OLED. People thought it, maybe it was just a concept at the minute, but nope, they had one panel and it's literally the panel that exists, that they had behind a very secretive curtain in a special room. And it's like, oh, okay, so nice. This is the future. So I think Samsung's TVs, the fact they were there, the fact we could see them, the fact they could show off what they've done in the last year or so, just stood out above all else.
Yeah, I think for me, again, my inbox has just been filled with just horrendous, horrendous products. A lot of, as you say, a lot of pet products like track your dog, you know, like basically Fitbits for dogs and all those kind of things. Someone tried to pitch me a lunchbox that had a built-in steamer to cook your food in the lunchbox.
I saw that yesterday.
Which I think it was called the Steam Box, because I saw it and thought, oh, that's something to do with like Steam, as in the gaming, you know, the gaming sort of download company. And, yep. And no, it was like have, you know, freshly hot steamed rice or something. Just yeah, seemed a bit much.
It's got nothing to do with Steam, the platform either. So it's a very kind of weirdly named device that might have a struggle taking off for legal reasons. But, you know, it's literally if you're going to be out in the wilderness and you want to have a nice hot box of rice or something, then you can pre-time it with that. How exciting.
Right, well, that's it for this week's show. I hope you've enjoyed it. Until next time, pip, pip.